to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
1 Timothy 6:17. There are many people who struggle. One of the things that as a pastor you do, one of the assignments of the pastor, Paul told Timothy, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. And it's that spiritual food, not talking about natural food, but spiritual food that causes us to grow, just like natural food is what we need to grow. And, of course, there's exercise needed as well, but we understand as far as the pastor, he can't exercise himself or spiritually to act on the Word of God for anybody else, but he can feed the flock. And so you want to see, as a pastor, you want to see people live in victory in all areas of life rather than being defeated by whatever, condemnation or, you know, past failures or whatever. Just live in victory over fear, over being run around by, you know, unbelief, chased in your mind by tormenting thoughts or, you know, how many of you know living in America doesn't equal being free? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free. Not just set you free. Set you free might mean, you know, I'll come after you and get you later and bind you again. Make you free is a proclamation declaring you free. Not even liable to be put in bondage again. And so it's the truth of God and the Word of God that makes us free. And pastors are assigned to grow Christians up. You know, evangelistic meetings are necessary. All the other fivefold ministry offices, we need them. In fact, there are things that are in the works to bring those into the church even more. But the point is, without a local church, all those would just be supplemental vitamins, so to speak. The local church is where we come to regularly to feed and to grow spiritually and to be victorious. And, you know, this might sound, you know, people I guess have their own opinions as to why ministers refer to different things in the Bible about finances, and that's between them and God. Their opinions matter nothing to me, but because it's just that is their opinion. And the opinion is the thought of somebody has no authority to do anything about it. But when ministers talk about finances, it's not because, I guess there's exceptions to every rule, but most of the time it's because there's more. If you were to do a survey, which we won't do this morning, how many people here are struggling physically in their physical bodies? There'd be a percentage of people having attacks against their bodies. How many people are struggling with condemnation? You know, a percentage. How many people are attacked with fear? There'd be a percentage. You know, how many people are struggling in your marriage? There'd be a percentage. And then if you'd say how many are struggling in their finances, it would eclipse all the other percentages. And how many of you know it shouldn't be that way? Now, we understand Satan as the god of this world. Listen to me very carefully this morning. Don't tune me out just because of your opinion or thinking of thoughts about why he's doing this or where, you know. But there are Satan as the god of this world. He will oppose you more in the area of finances. In other words, being free financially. I mean, when Jesus said, you'll know the truth will make you free. That's in every area. And so whenever Satan opposes us in this area of finances, we find that, I found that he does this more in my life and other people's lives. He opposes us more in these areas than in other things, in other areas. And so it ought to be that we look at that and say, well, there's truth to keep that from happening in my life. Don't make me want to, preach on something else this morning. There's truth that makes us free in this area of our lives. Hallelujah. Many people have the opinion that it's just hard financially to get ahead or to, you know, maybe get out of debt or, you know, to succeed financially or something like that. Actually, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Which just simply means if you will take on the way God says to do it, and follow his plan scripturally. His yoke is his plan Follow his plan scripturally on how to succeed in any area, but this area, then he said it'll be easy. That's a foreign thought to a lot of people when it comes to finances. But when it comes to the prosperity message, to some people, they put up walls and they block they close their heart a little bit, or maybe completely, because they just hear, the only thing they hear whenever they hear ministers talking about prosperity is they hear covetousness. And that's because of an unrenewed mind. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions. I'm sure there are ministers who are covetous. You understand? So, whatever. That's not my goal this morning to point all that out. But my point is, there is a covetous system in the world that people pursue in order to succeed financially. We understand that. The Bible warns against it. The Bible talks about covetousness. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way that's different than the way of the world, that you can't succeed financially in his way of doing things, which is not covetousness. Am I making any sense this morning? It's a way of faith. There are two kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms in the world. There are two ways of prospering. There is the covetous system and there is the faith system. And 1 Timothy here, you're in verse number 7, or chapter 6, verse 17. Let's just back up here. There's too much here. I'll never get to what the Lord put on my heart if I read it all, but if you just want to take notes, and you can start reading in verse 5 or 6, somewhere right there, and later just meditate on this whole thing, because it's all good. But for time's sake, he just says down, let's go down to verse 9. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So when he says they that will be rich, he said for, in other words, he's connecting verse 10 to verse 9, the love of money is the root of all evil. He's not talking about just anybody that wants to be better off financially. In verse number 9, when he says, they that will be rich. I want to be better off financially. And if you're honest, you want to be better off financially. And that doesn't make you covetous. That does not make you covetous. The way you go about pursuing it determines whether that makes you covetous or that makes you a person of faith. And so he mentioned here the love of money, for the love of money, meaning this is what I'm talking about when I say in verse number 9, they that will be rich get into all these troubles and so forth and so on. Many foolish and hurtful lusts. He said for the, and destruction, that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money, but the love of it. It's the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice he mentions the two systems in that verse. There is the covetous system and there is the faith system. He said those that are into the love of money, which is the root of all evil, they coveted money and they have erred from the faith. Notice they got out of faith. They're not walking by faith. They're not walking in light of God's word in order to prosper. They're walking in a worldly covetous system. And you cannot operate in both at the same time. You cannot be in faith and walk in covetousness. You cannot be in covetousness and be a faith person for your finances. You cannot serve Jesus, said it this way, you cannot serve God and mammon. He didn't say you couldn't have God and money. He said you can't serve God and mammon. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Where's the sorrow? It's not in the blessing of the Lord. He said that won't be it. There won't be any sorrow in the blessing of the Lord. But there is sorrow in another system, and that's this world system. And you've heard me describe it in a nutshell. It's get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. It pursues money as an object, as a goal, rather than pursuing the plan of God and letting, remember he said, if you in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1, if you'll observe to keep my commandments and my statutes, so forth and so on, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And he goes through and lists them. Blessed in the field. You'll have blessed in your basket, blessed in your store. We'd say today, blessed in our bank accounts, blessed in our businesses. Everything we put our hand to will be blessed. There's blessing. There's increase. There's financial success. Am I making any sense this morning? But it's not because we're pursuing the money. It can't be because we're pursuing the money. He said, because all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Overtake you doesn't mean from before you. It means from behind you. If you and I are driving home after church and we kind of start out at the same time and I overtake you, I came from behind. So whenever he said you observe to do all my statutes and my commandments, all these blessings will overtake you, he's talking about making the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added. In other words, he's talking about not chasing the dollar, but chasing after God. Amen. Pursuing God, pursuing being a doer of his word, pursuing his system, his way of doing these things. And as we do, our focus is not on money. We're not money-minded. We are God-minded, word-minded, plan-minded. And we obey that word. We obey the Spirit of God. We obey the plan of God, whether there's money in it or not. But he said, you keep doing that, things will start overtaking you. Things will start overtaking you. If something's overtaking me, I'm not facing it. I'm not chasing it. I'm chasing after God, and it's chasing me. That's a totally different system than the way the world operates. Jesus said, you know, your father, no, go over to Matthew. Let's just turn back there. Go over to Matthew, chapter number 6. Oh, I might just go ahead and get my preach on this morning. Matthew, let's see here. My. This is such a big subject. Somebody said there's more scriptures in the Bible about finances than healing or any of these other things that so commonly we preach. I've never counted. I'm just taking their word for it. But how many of you know God has a lot to say about these things in our lives? The spirit of the world will not let you listen to God's way of doing these things. It's not interested in hearing what God has to say about it. It has its own way. Say amen, even though you don't know if it's true or not. Notice what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter number 6. Remember all these verses, take no thought for your life. Back there in verse 25, what you shall eat and so forth. He mentions that five or six times there in that next few verses. But let's go down here in verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? In other words, where are we going to get the money? For whatever we need. Or whatever God's put in our heart to do for him. Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, don't take thought, saying. That tells you these natural things will talk to you. Don't take the thought that they bring to you. When you look in your checkbook, sometimes your checkbook talks to you. Well, it always talks to you, actually. It might say you can or you can't. We're going to do it today or we're not going to do it today. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? It's always talking to you. And you and I have got to be careful not to take the thought of what our checkbook balance is saying or what our accounts are saying. We're to take thought only from God's word. Otherwise, we're not listening to God and he's not Lord. It's Lord. It's making our decisions for us. Someone said, well, I don't want to write hot checks. I'm not preaching writing hot checks. I'm saying just don't let your checkbook balance put a no on something God said yes about. Amen. You can stand there and answer it back and say, I don't take thought from you. I take my thought from the word, and this is what my word says. It says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We got to get this right. We got to get this right. You and I will never be a strong faith person if we're always letting money make our decisions for us. Pastor Debbie and I have done many things in the ministry God's given us and so forth. And oftentimes when we start out, we have no idea how we're going to get the money to do what God put in our heart to do. And that is walking by faith in what we heard from God. Not pulling something out of the air saying, I think this would be a good idea. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hearing from God. And listening to what he's saying, and say, whenever he says to do something, you start taking steps toward it, even when your head is screaming or the bank balance is screaming. You can't. There's no way. And we just keep answering that and say, Father, I just want to thank you. What you put in our hearts coming to pass. We're going to keep on taking steps towards this. And every single time, it has always come to pass. Every single time. That's walking by faith rather than letting money tell me what I can do and what I can't do. But notice he keeps on saying here, he says in verse number 31, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Someone said, well, I'm seeking it. Well, he said, they're making that first. You and I might be interested in some of these things and pursuing maybe a further education at the community college or something in order to better ourselves and so forth. But that doesn't mean that you're putting it, if you're walking in God's system, let me put it this way, that means you're not putting that first. You're putting the reason I prosper is because God is leading me to do this and because I'm faithful and obedient to his word, seeking first the kingdom of God. All those other things will succeed, such as going to school and applying for a better job or, you know, whatever, starting a business. All those things will succeed, but not because that we're putting that first. He said the Gentiles, they seek that, put that first. Now, that doesn't say it in verse 32 about that being first, but read the whole thing. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But you, in other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You could add right after that, by God. Not by you, by God. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you from God blessing you and honoring you, putting him first. You could have two people pursuing the same thing and one be covetous, the other be a man of faith. You don't always know by looking which system a person's in. Sometimes you can, because you can see it becomes obvious sometimes by actions. You know, I can't afford to go to church because I got things to do. I'm trying to build my business. Or, you know, you can see what system that is. Am I preaching all right? But this verse says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he said, and his righteousness, that could mean your right standing with God. It could also mean doing right. Right according to the word. And his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that blessings will chase you down when you follow the word, when you follow God's plan, when you follow the leading of the Spirit? Whether there's money in it or not, you just do what he told you to do. Just do what he told you to do. And he said, I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up to you. Hallelujah. There's a couple that in California that we, well, long story, I'll try to keep it short, but we knew them. I knew them. I think you knew them. I don't want to mention who it is, but from Rhema, way back years ago from Rhema and all the friendships we developed there. But we got to see him. Well, she married. We didn't know him. We got to know him, and we got some time to fellowship with him. And he came to camp meeting all week, had a business that had never been, he never wanted to leave it because, you know, he had, I think, 3 or 4 employees. He never really wanted to leave it because, you know, I have to be there to keep running my business. But God put it in his heart last week to come to camp meeting all week long. You know, which was a very, a young business, new business, whatever. It's a very challenging thing to leave for a week and try to, over the phone, tell people, you know, okay, do this, do that, you know. But God put it in his heart to do it. She had been coming to camp meeting, but he hadn't been coming. He might come a day or so and then run home real quick in past meetings. But this week, the Lord told him. Now, notice, listen to that. The Lord spoke to him. It wasn't just something that, but he had it in his heart. What do you do when you got something in your heart and it doesn't look like you can do it? You build up your faith and say, okay, here we go. And that's what this man did. And I saw him, greeted him right as we left on Friday night at midnight, actually 12:20. Oh, the fellowship, it's so rich. But we walked out, and there they were. We hugged their necks, said goodbye to them. And he said, I got a testimony for you. He said, all week, he said, I was here rather than there. I had my four or five employees working at home in his business. And he said, we made more money this week than ever. I said, let it be a sign, brother. Follow what God puts in your heart. When it doesn't look like it's the right thing to do financially. I'm not saying just be stupid financially. I'm saying follow what God puts in your heart. Follow what God puts in your heart. Follow what God puts in your heart. Well, I can't. Well, who said? Where's that voice coming from? It is a lying vanity. It is a bluff. And you need to put your faith big boy pants on and come on up and face that lie and say, God put this in my heart. You're telling me I can't. You're not my Lord. God is my Lord. I'm putting Him first, what He put in my heart first. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing it in spite of money. And as I focus on the plan of God, all these things will come on me and take care of me. God will take care of me. God will take care of me. He's my Father. He's working against Himself. If He leads you to do something, put something in your heart, and then won't make it up, make good on it and take care of you financially. He's working against Himself. If that's true, that He won't make it up to you. That's a lying vanity. I'm trying to get that through. That's a lying vanity. That thing that keeps talking to you saying, I can't, I don't have the money. That thing is a lying vanity. You need to prove it out. I dare you. I double dog dare you to start facing some of those lies down when God puts something in your heart. Start answering it and saying, oh, you say I can't do it, huh? Here we go. Hide and watch. It's a wonderful way to live. It takes all the limits off. God doesn't want you to have a limited life. Woo, glory. I said glory. I said glory. We've got to learn to hold the devil in the arena of faith and call his bluff. He's bluffing. And I'm hitting a wall right now, but I'm going to bust through it. Some of you need to wake up and realize that lie, that voice says, it's like you're on a leash. You can go so far and then you get jerked back. You know what I mean? Because of fear, because of doubt. And you say, oh, I can't. Now listen, I'm not talking about just pulling something out of the air, but I'm talking about what just keeps coming into your heart to do. Just keeps coming in your heart to do. Amen. Call his bluff. Start stepping out. Go over to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Jesus was preaching, and he finished his sermon. He told the disciples, you take the boat and you go to the other side, and I'll catch up with you later. They probably assumed he meant, I'll catch a boat. I mean, wouldn't you assume that? I'll catch a boat and come over there later. But in Matthew 14, let's notice here. Let's start in verse 22. I just mentioned this, but we'll read it. Matthew 14, 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him on the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. But for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. Or we'd say today, a ghost. And they cried out for fear. You remember what he said? He said, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. Remember Peter, and he said, well, if it's you, bid me come on the water. And we know the story. But I wanted to focus on the previous part of the story, especially back in verse number 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, rowing on a boat. Huh? He went unto them what? Walking on the sea. Now, you and I know, in the natural, without any the power of God, that's impossible. You and my bodies are more dense than water, and we tend to chug, then go. And isn't that right? Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Huh? Think about it. He's praying. He said, well, I'm done praying. I got to go meet my disciples. You know, and it's late. So there's probably everybody else has went to bed. This is nighttime. And so he gets down to the edge of the sea, and he's out there. He sees them, probably. And so he doesn't have a way to get, he has no boat. But that's where he's supposed to be. That's where he has it in his heart to go catch up with his disciples. And so he just steps out on the water and starts walking on the water. In other words, think about it. You know, we kind of get religious. We get glassy-eyed and we think, oh, that's just. But think about it. He got to the edge of the water and he didn't have a boat, so he just kept on walking. Yeah. Yes, sir. What do I mean, got to the edge of the water? He got to the edge of possibility. Yeah. Beyond that edge of that water, that edge of that lake is impossibility. It's possible to walk on land, but to walk on water, I'm talking about without God's power, is impossible. Yes. What do you do when you come up to, when you're walking in what's possible and God says, keep on going. And when you look where he's leading you to go, it's impossible. Right. You just keep on going. No, wait, Pastor, you don't understand. It's impossible. I can't. No, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. If he's putting it in your heart to do it, come on now, then just start walking toward it. This is the way Pastor Debbie and I live. I love it. I love it. This is the way I'm going to roll for the rest of my life. If you want to roll with Pastor, if you want to not just go to a church that is called Spirit of Faith Family Church, but you want to roll with the Spirit of Faith. Anybody want to roll with the Spirit of Faith? It'll get you out into impossible situations. Yeah. But it'll tap into the power of God that'll make the impossible possible. And you'll turn around and you'll go, how did I do that? And you'll say, there was no way. But look, it's done. I said, we got to get this right. We got to get this right. Hallelujah. Faith doesn't stop at the edge of impossibility. Or you could say at the edge of possibility. It doesn't stop there and wait. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. That's what a lot of people are saying. They're not waiting on the Lord. The Lord's waiting on them. Get your feet out into impossibility. Listen, I'm the pastor. I'm watching some of you learn this. Notice I said some of you. Others are still smacking your gums and going, mm. You haven't stepped into it yet, but I can tell you're hungry for it. Just keep coming, man. I was telling Pastor Nancy. Now, this is just in the financial realm. We're kind of focusing on the financial realm this morning, but this will work in any realm. Yeah. I was telling her about a number of years ago, I had the habit of just shopping when I needed clothes. I'm not a big shopper. But when I need clothes, you know, eventually you need some more. Either because the circumference is growing or something, you know. I'm not looking at you. I'm just looking at the ceiling. But, you know, you get to that place, they start wearing out, or else everybody's seen that 725 times. You've worn it that many times. You know what I'm talking about. So So I used to have a habit of whenever I go shop, you know, well, I was so conscious of my financial limitations when I would go shopping. I'm not saying writing hot check. You just have to hear this out. But that's the way I used to be. I'd find a shirt I really like or something I really like, and I'd hold up and I'd say, oh, that's nice. That's the one I want. Look at the tag. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, I'll put that back. Over here's one. That's okay. Kind of like it. Look at the tag. Oh, that's on sale, 50% off. Hey, all right, yeah. So I grab that one, and I'm on my way to the cash register. You know, in my heart, and the whole time knowing I the one I really want is that one over there. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, or, you know, this one, you know, it's okay, but the sleeves are a little too long, and you know what I'm talking about? The neck's not quite the right size, but it's on sale. Oh, don't. So, but I lived that way for a long time. Long time. Years. Until this word kept growing in me about you be willing and to beat you, eat the good of the land, all these things. I'm not talking about pursuing this as an object. I'm talking pursuing the plan of God. But I'm willing and obedient in the plan of God. And as I'm doing that, he said all these blessings would come on me and overtake me. Except they'll only come on to the degree of your limiter. You can get a prompting, and many times I would see the shirt or whatever the suit that I like, and I have a prompting, that's yours. I would override it. See, you can know by your spirit that's yours. This bought me a new suit in California. As soon as I walked in, Brian was with me. He can testify to this. Where'd Brian go? He can testify. As soon as I walked in, I picked this. I just went down the row. Yeah, there it is. I said, I'm going to try this one on right here. I didn't even look at the price. I said, this is it. I checked the pants, make sure everything, you know. Had to try them on and all that. I didn't even check the price, though, after I'd done the alterations and all that. You know, I knew Pastor Debbie had money, so. You know, you dig far enough, you can find it. It's down in there somewhere. So I just knew. I just had the prompting. That's yours. That's your suit. That's your suit. God will. That's my wallet. I'm doing the preaching. Disregard her. Because, and that's the way I've begun to roll. Because several years ago, while I had picked up a shirt that I really didn't like as well as the one over there, I'm walking to the counter with the one I really want that one over there, but this one's on sale, or this one's something else, you know. Years ago, a number of years ago, and when I was doing that, just knowing in my heart, I'm cheating myself. Just because of being money-minded rather than supply-minded. I was walking, I got halfway to the cash register, and I said, that's it. I'm done doing this. And I turned around, went over and got the one I want, bought it. And from that day to this, that's the way I live. When I'm in a restaurant, I don't look at the price. Listen, if I want chicken with gravy on it, I'm going to get the chicken with gravy on it, and I'm going to pass the soup. I don't care what the price is. Seriously. Amen. Yes, sir. We've got to be supply-minded. Brother Copeland, years ago, I think Pastor Nancy might have said this. I don't know if it's public or private, but he was showing a minister friend of his around in a building that they had built for the ministry down there. And he said, you know, we had this planned this way, but we saw we could cut this corner and save this money and so forth and so on. And he mentioned that a couple of times during the tour that he was showing his friend. And at the end, after the friend left, he's by himself just, I don't even remember if he was praying or not. And the Lord said, I want to talk to you. The Lord said, you said to that minister that you did this and this and saved the ministry money and saved God money and so forth and so on. Yeah. He said, well, you saved my money? Yeah. He said, well, then where is it? Where's that money you saved? He said, you didn't save me money. He said, you cut yourself short. And that's what you and I are doing so often. You know, since I've been just buying what I want, I'm not saying just anything my flesh wants. My flesh has a lot of desires, like your flesh has a lot of desires. But I'm talking about what I said. Well, like this. I walked in, I knew that's my suit. Just buying what I know. See, some people hear this and they think writing hot checks and so forth. I have never been without doing it this way any more than I was. I have just as much as a flow of supply in my life doing it this way than I did whenever I was saving all this money. Saving all this money. You know, you're in the restaurant. Do you want guacamole on that? Or do you want mushrooms on that steak? Or do you want onions on that steak? Well, it's $1.50 more. You really want the mushrooms and onions. Well, is God going to reach the end of his power to supply over $1.50? We're limiting ourselves. God is, we're at the edge of what we think is possible. But the only realm of what's limiting us is inside of our thinking and inside of our heart. It's not in God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you here today, this will work big like it'll work little. It'll work for guacamole. Or it'll work on a house. When you know, see, I'm not talking about just coveting after every little thing your flesh lusts after, but let's say you're in the market for another car, and you walk on a lot, and the Spirit, you get the witness, that's it right there. Don't back out, don't do without something, because your head's limiting you. The supply is for the need. The supply is for the need. The supply is for the need. Somebody said, well, how am I going to get the money? Well, if you don't have the measure of faith to get it right that day, then start saying, Lord, you spoke in my heart. That's my vehicle. And start claiming it. Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, you say these things as a pastor, you always got to say the other side. I'm not talking about just, you know, putting everything on credit and you can't pay your credit card off, paying 28% in interest a month or something like that. You understand? I don't have time to go into all that. But the point is, don't stop. Let's put it this way. Stop stopping at the edge of impossibility. I'm talking about if you get it in your heart. You just know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just know. You just know. That's my land. That's my house. He's your father. He's taking care of you. If you've got 17 children, and three more on the way. You're going to need a house. You're going to need some bedrooms. And let me tell you what else you're going to need. You're going to need some grocery money is what you're going to need. Hey, but if you had all those 17 plus three in your heart, there's a supply. Don't back out of 20 kids, you know, just because you. Now, we are going to pray for your wife. Oh, Jesus, pray for her. But praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? There's a supply for what God has for you to do. Glory, glory, glory. But you got to know that things will talk to you. Money will talk to you. How many of you know God talks to you also, but money will talk to you? You got to decide which voice you're going to listen to. Amen. 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 God speaks to us about our money. The devil speaks to us about money, and through money, God will not speak to you. He'll speak to you in spite of your money. Yes, he will. I can tell by looking at it. Some of you don't know that. Go to Philippians 4. We'll begin to commence to think about closing here. I just barely got started here. This is, but Paul in Philippians 4 said, verse number 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Oh, by the way, I bought this suit. Somebody walked up to me about three days later and said, here's some money, and it was almost the exact same amount. I got a supply. When God said that, and here's what the Lord said to me. The Lord said, I just wanted to pay for your suit and thank you for obeying me and coming out to this meeting and staying connected with Pastor Nancy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, just because, well, see. Okay, Philippians 4. Your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. Listen to that. Not that I speak in respect of want. You got to learn to stop talking about what your lack. Don't be always talking about lack. Talk about supply. And I'm not talking out of need here is what he's saying. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith is italicized, to be content. In other words, in it, not with it. Be content in it, not with it. There is a difference. People say, well, we should just be content with what we have. The Bible never said that. It said, be content in it. God, your Father, wants to do big things for you because He loves you. He loves you. I said, He loves you. Remember over there in Matthew, we didn't read it, but he said, your Father knows that you have need of all these things. He said, he knows you have need of all these things. Tell your neighbor, your Father's a good Father. And the Bible says He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. That's Psalm 35:27. You ought to say that. God loves to take care of me. He loves to take care of me. I'm His child. He loves to take care of me. If He'll put feathers on a bird, He'll put clothes on me. He'll put feathers on a bird, beautiful feathers. He'll put clothes on me. My Father's a good Heavenly Father. He takes care of me. He loves me. You ought to always talk about how much He loves. You ought to talk about how much you love Him too, you understand? But talk about how much He loves you, wants to take care of you, and you'll find Him, I don't mean He trips, but you'll find Him tripping over Himself to take care of you, do things for you. It's a human way of saying, just trying to get to it, you know? Glory! He's a good God. He's a good God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Or Robert says something good is going to happen to you today. That's because He's a good God. Well, I don't know. These things might be evil, Pastor. I don't know if they're good or not. Well, why in the marketplace don't you call them evil? You call them goods and services. Things have no inherent nature in themselves. They take on the nature of the one who has it. Are you a good person? Boy, that was weak. Any good people in here? Good people. Love God. Want to do right. Do good. Be a blessing. Let me say, any good people in here? So if it's in your hands, it'll have the nature that you have. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we should have any of this old world's goods. Well, that's where you got a couple of mistakes there. It's not this old world's goods. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The devil and his crowd have been running it, but that doesn't mean it's theirs. It's God's, and the Bible said in Psalm 115, He's given it to the children of men.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could go a long time on that, but so your Father's a good Heavenly Father. He knows that you have need of all these things. And here's another thing, Psalm 35:27, He delights in the prosperity of His servant. So in other words, He knows you have need of all these things, and He delights to meet those needs. And even wants. You keep your priorities right, all the things you really want will come to you. I'm telling you. Things I would really like in life to have this, or to live here, or to be able to do this, or have this kind of a lifestyle, or something like that. As long as that's not the priority that everything else revolves around, and you set God aside to get it and do it the world's way, and you walk in God's way, putting Him first, so forth, He'll bring you right into all those things. Remember what He said? You ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be, you know, just down there banging on E, you know. You're going to go through life just barely getting along, not really having much. No, full. Joy, full. Full joy. Yeah, just like, whoa, yeah, woo. Man, I tell you, God's good. Full joy. Full joy. I was, one time the Lord said to me, you want to know how he was talking to me about where his children live. He said, you want to know how they can tell if their joy is full? I said, yeah. He said, they walk in and just day after day, month after month, they said, man, I could live here for the rest of my life. A lot of grunts. I can tell some of you, his joys ain't full. Well, that's just simply saying God wants to do where your joy is full. Is where you're living, I could live here the rest of my life? Not where I'm living. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. All right, so He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. He has pleasure in prospering His servants. If he loves to take care of servants, He'll take care of His sons even better. Yes. Amen. Amen. And see, the Lord will lead you to take steps, and some of these steps, in order to get into fullness, will be just to stretch your faith. Yeah. He'll lead you to take steps that gets you out of your comfort zone, because He knows if he doesn't stretch you, then you'll never reach for more. So He'll stretch you. I said, He'll stretch you. Well, glory, I'll tell you, some of you are loving it. Some of you are staring at me. I love all of you back. Praise the Lord. So, but you have to walk by faith. When you get something in your heart. Now listen, it might take you a year or two, whatever. If it's something really bigger, you know, it might take you a while to develop your faith. But don't set it aside and limit yourself just because right now I'm not at the place to reach for it, you know, to buy it or something. But don't stand at the edge of, you know, like Jesus at the edge of the lake and saying, we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. No, stand there and say, all things are possible to him that believeth. My Father gives me all things richly to enjoy. He takes good care of me. I'm His child, and He delights in the prosperity of His children. Glory. All right, Philippians 4. He said in verse, we've got to wrap this up. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. Learn not to talk out of your need. But in whatsoever state I've learned to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. In other words, how to. He just said how. That means how to. How to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. How to be in all those circumstances. How do you do it, Paul? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Learn to do things through the anointing. The word Christ means the anointed one and His anointing. Learn to make the anointing your ability to do anything. Amen. Not money.
Amen.
You know, this side here has a good chance at beating this side this morning. My God, He said, I make Jesus and His anointing my ability to do anything. When I come up to the edge of possibility and beyond that's impossibility, I got an anointing that will enable me to do all things. He didn't say I have the money to do all things. He said I got the anointing to do all things. The anointing will bring the supply. The anointing, when you continue to walk past the limits and get over into impossible situations, the anointing will show up. And that's why he said, my God shall supply all your need according. Because he said, that one that keeps blessing me and taking care of my need, he'll take yours, care of yours too. If you keep tapping into that anointing, you keep making that your source, that your ability, that your sufficiency to be able to accomplish these things. Hallelujah. Learn to do things through the anointing and make that your source, not money or your own ability to get money. Yes, sir. Amen. We are to make God and his anointing our source. He wants us to be anointing and God's power minded, not money minded. Yes. Get that. Not need minded. Yes. Well, I can't because... Well, see, now you're living in the realm of limits. Notice Paul didn't say, I can do most things through Christ with strength. No, I can do all things. All things. All things are possible through the anointing and tapping into that anointing, which brings the supply. But if I'm need-minded and I'm money-minded, I'll limit myself. Oh, Jesus. We got to get it. We got to get it. We got to get it. For where we're going at Spirit of Faith Family Church, we got to get a hold of this. For where God's taking you and your family, you got to get a hold of this. Come on. Get so absorbed with his supply, his riches in glory. Remember, go over here in verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your riches in your bank account, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your riches in your bank account or accounts is limited. His riches supplies all your need. Even the ones you create by continuing to walk past possibility. See, unless you step out when there's no way to do it, there's no need. He didn't say he'll bless you standing on the edge of possibility because you don't have a need yet. He said he'll bless you stepping beyond what you can do into what you can't do. Now you got a need. That's what he said he would meet you. That's what he would. That's where the power would hit you. Not back in what you can do, but out in the area of need. But we're standing here and not waiting. We're not creating the need. I can't. See, you're looking at the financial things and possibilities in the natural realm. But if you'll create the need, I'm not talking about doing it out of your head. You got to hear that part. Don't just do things out of your head saying, I'm going to try that. Well, you'll be coming to us for rent payment. Am I making any sense this morning? Glory be to God. Don't let money make your decisions for you. Get so full of supply. Get so full of your minded, my God, the power of God, the anointing to get wealth. That's what makes me able to do all things through Christ. Amen. Don't let lack talk to you. You answer lack with my God shall supply. Don't take thought from lack saying. Take thought from Philippians 4:19 saying. And Philippians 4:13 saying, amen. Hallelujah. You'll never get the dross out of your faith by continuing to run from needs or to back away from needs. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about you back out of the plan because, well, we can't. There's a need. I can't. But then don't go brag about your faith, how great a faith person you are either. Amen. Fight to keep the need from keeping you in disobedience. From causing you to disobey the leading of the Spirit. You got to fight for this. It won't happen because you're just twiddling your thumbs waiting for God to somehow do something before. See, it wouldn't be walking by faith to just wait for God to supply it. And then you say, well, then I'll step out. We hired Brian didn't have the money to put him on staff here at church. I knew it was God's plan, but then the Spirit of God said, do it. And when the Lord said, do it, the money wasn't there. You know what we did? So, okay, Lord, we're waiting for you to supply. Brian would not be on staff today if we had waited for the money to show up to bring him on staff. He would not be on staff. Someone said, well, how's the church doing it? I really don't know. It's just always there. I'll tell you how. He's a man of faith. He said, Father, I thank you for meeting my baby's needs, meeting my home's needs. Of course, we're believing God too. You understand that. But you got to fight to keep the need to keep you from keep you in disobedience. That's a big issue right there. I said, that's a big issue right there. Hallelujah. Remember Numbers. I'm going to close now. Numbers 14 says, verse number 24. I won't turn there. I think you know this verse. Numbers 14, 24 talks about Caleb and Joshua. Remember, the 10 spies caused everybody to get into unbelief before they at Kadesh Barnea. But Caleb and Joshua said, let's go up at once and possess it. Do you remember that? Well, then the whole nation was held out because of their unbelief. But Joshua and Caleb for 40 years stayed in faith. And God said, concerning my servant Caleb, he has another spirit with him. I'm going to take him in to possess the land. And it says there that he has followed me fully. Notice that, fully. It's obvious from that verse that God liked Caleb's faith. Followed me fully. In other words, whenever he was at Kadesh Barnea and he saw the giants and he saw the walled cities and he saw the iron chariots and armies bigger than them, you know, they just came out of slavery. They're not even an army. I guess they just whittled some sticks and made spears or something. I don't know what they... Amen. And whenever these other armies are all fully developed and everything, larger than them, had chariots and all this equipment stuff, you know, that'd be like today, modern day military equipment against some little bunch of people with swords and sticks. Whenever he saw that, he didn't back out and say, we can't. He had another spirit. God said he had a spirit of faith. Not the backbone of a wiggly worm. He had a spirit of faith. We talk about faith and we keep backing away from these things. But Caleb had another spirit. Notice what that spirit did. It enabled him to follow God fully. Say fully. Not halfway in and then back out because you come to the end of possibility. Are you getting this morning? He followed him fully. You'll never follow God fully by focusing on lack or by focusing on the needs. You'll back out of what the Spirit of God told you to do. But Caleb had all in faith. He's all in. Full bore, both barrels. Let's go up at once and possess it. I like Caleb. He's my kind of guy. After the first 100,000 years with Jesus and God, I might go over and visit Caleb. I like the spirit of faith. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. So he's full-throated faith. He's not holding anything in reserve saying, well, I don't know. We'll see. No, he's just full in. He's all the way in. His faith was unreserved in its obedience. He didn't hold back because of need or because of something that said it's impossible. He just went all in. All right, hallelujah. He was outspoken. His faith was not qualified. It was not limited. It was not with reservation. It would not compromise because of what he saw that said we can't. Come on now. Spirit of faith ought to shout on that one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To fail to follow God fully is many times a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Things come up that say we can't. We start, you know, our confession isn't as bold. And we start, you know, we don't say it as much. And we kind of start doubting and waiting. And when God's good time comes, his good time was 2,000 years ago when he redeemed you from poverty. He's done everything he's going to do about your prosperity. Did you get that? He's done everything he's going to do about your prosperity. He's waiting on people of faith to step out. That's a faith issue. A lack of excellence in faith. I said it's a lack of excellence in faith. Hallelujah. I'm closing. Tell your neighbor, he is closing now. Two words the Hebrew Concordance uses as the definition of fully are, number one, fullness. Number two, abundance. This is the Hebrew. He's followed me fully. It means fully or fullness, and it also is defined or interpreted or translated in the Hebrew, out of the Hebrew into the English, abundance. So when God said he's followed me fully, he's talking first of all of what he had a full in faith. He would not compromise. He fully obeyed when it doesn't look like they could. You understand? That's first of all. But he's also talking about the results of fully following. Abundance. Abundance. Did you get that? Abundance. Well, I'm waiting for abundance. No, it's waiting on you to step out and follow fully and start doing what the Spirit of God's already told you to do. Rather than sitting back in the boat and waiting for the waves to stop rocking and for maybe a rock to appear you could step on or something like that. I don't know what people are waiting on. I just know I ain't holding back anymore. So he's talking about a full obedience, and he's also talking about the results of full obedience. Abundance. So as a result of following fully, God's able to take the one following into abundance. In other words, the supply will come. Hallelujah. Are you all getting it? All that he holds in reserve all of a sudden starts opening up. I know there are things that you get timing on, but most of that's not waiting on God. Most of that's the timing of our faith is developed to do this. You understand? You know, it doesn't take God long at all. Amen. But he's only able to take us into fullness as we follow fully. Amen. You're hindering the flow of God's abundance toward your life whenever you don't take the steps. Abundance springs out of a flow of excellence in following. Following fully. Complete obedience. When the Spirit of God prompts you to do something, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fully. And let's start practicing instantly, too. That's true about any area of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God kept Caleb alive until all those other people died off. And 80 years old, God said, all right. He said to Joshua, go in and possess. It's time now. All those other people have died. Remember, he said they would die. And so Caleb says, all right. He goes to Joshua. He knocks on the palace door where Joshua is. This is Caleb. I'm 80 years old. I'm just as strong today as I was back then. See that mountain over there? Joshua said, that's where all the giants are. You're 80 years old. He said, give me that mountain. I've been waiting 40 years on all these duds out here. Give me that mountain. Hallelujah. He followed fully and he possessed fully. I said he possessed fully. He had a spirit of faith. Not the spirit of draw back, hold back, wait for God, wait till God sovereignly somehow, some way starts moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just live up to our name out there on the sign. What do you say? Spirit of faith. Spirit of get her done. Spirit of obedience. When God says, do this, we do it. Hallelujah. When God says, pay off the church, we do it. Glory. I'm like Caleb. Give me this mountain. I ain't 80 years old yet, but give me this mountain.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.